Hey, everyone. It is Friday, October 22nd. You're watching Morning Invest. On today's show, President Biden is fed up with Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema's BS and called them out by name during the town hall. Can he save his stimulus package? What concessions will he have?
Also, we're going to talk about a big pharmaceutical company that's supposedly saving the world right now. But in other news, after poisoning babies, this same company is facing 38,000 lawsuits. You won't believe the loophole they're using to get off scot-free.
Not surprising. And we found a silver lining in those bad jobs numbers that we told you about just yesterday. So we're going to pull that little silver lining out, wrap you up in a nice baby burrito for the weekend, and send you on your way so you at least have some positive news going into your weekend. All right? How about that? Good news for America. Morning Invest starts right now. Top of the muffin to you. Welcome in to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And we've got a jam-packed show for you on this Friday. Make sure you stick around to the end of the show. We've got trending. We ran out of room to put, because Natalie insisted on this cyber story. So we can't fit the pet photos as the final thing here on the screen. So, but there is pet photos today on this
there
Friday.
There will be pet photos, but there was a lot of fun things to talk about. It's not all doom and gloom.
No.
We're going to leave you on a high note for the weekend. But yes, we are going to start things off with stimulus, and then we're going to talk more about pharmaceuticals and cyber warfare.
Yeah. So we've got a jam-packed show. Let's kick it off this morning and let's talk about the latest on the stimulus news. So President Biden held a town hall meeting last night. You know, he's been criticized lately, President Biden has, for not holding any press conferences, answering reporters' questions. He's had about like four or five, and people are saying, hey, President Trump had a ton by this point. Of course, President Trump loved, you know, the television cameras. But President Biden has been like sequestered away. So he does these like town halls where Anderson Cooper or Don Lemon kind of hand him stuff, you know, very, yes, very gently, like giving an old man a big bowl of soup or something. And so this is what it was last night. Anderson Cooper kind of serving up some hot soup to President Biden on the stage and asked him a couple of key questions about this infrastructure package. You know, number one, Joe Manchin. Like, what's, yes, going to happen with Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema? Are you going to be able to come to any kind of agreement? Because this thing is falling apart. So here is President Biden last night talking about Joe Manchin and where things stand right now with Kyrsten Sinema. Let's listen to this. And if he's going to be able to get any sort of agreement, here is some of these softball questions.
About Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema, you seem relatively confident you can kind of get Senator Manchin on board. There's a lot of Democrats in the House and Senate who are confused about where Senator Sinema actually stands on things. And I know she's been negotiating directly with you in the White House. What is your read on her? And obviously you need her to remain positive in your direction. So I don't know what you're going to say, but what is your read on her? Do you know where she stands?
First of all, she's smart as the devil, number one.
Okay. She's smart as the devil, number one. So what does that mean? That means she's like squirrely, right? Is that how, would you say like that? Like,
oh, that's not how I read it. I thought it was like, you know how they say correct or commend that he's pulling that, you know,
like where he's giving a compliment first,
compliment and then the recommendation and then compliment after.
I don't know. To me, it was like, wow, she's kind of wily. She's kind of sneaky.
I don't know.
But I don't know.
Also, why applaud the question? People are like, yay, we're going to talk about Kyrsten Sinema finally. Yeah. This is real politics they came to see.
Finally, we got an answer.
Number two, she's very supportive of the environmental agenda in my legislation.
Meanwhile, Joe Manchin is not.
Yes.
So that's a little shot at Joe Manchin.
Very supportive. She's supportive of almost all the things I mentioned relating to everything from a family care to all those issues. Where she's not supportive is she says she will not raise a single penny in taxes on the corporate side and or on wealthy people, period. And so that's where it sort of breaks down. There's a few other issues it breaks down on. But what we're trying to do is reach a point here where I'm able to present to the Senate, they're able to vote on, and the House, a serious, serious piece of legislation that changes the dynamic for working class folks in America and middle class folks, and begins to have the very wealthy and corporate members just begin to pay their fair share.
Well, you're not going to get that. So you're not going to get that, because the breaking news this morning now is that Biden has backed down on the corporate tax hikes, and he's opened altering the filibusters. So Kyrsten Sinema single-handedly basically torpedoed raising taxes on wealthy people. One senator who has been lobbyist, you know, who's been receiving lobbyist money from these companies. She had like fundraisers just a few weeks ago raising money from these companies who are asking her to make sure that the corporate tax rate does not go up.
So this is, but these were two different things. He had his tax proposal and he has this social spending stimulus
plan.
Yeah,
but it's part of it, right? We're going to raise taxes.
So what they're saying is the tax plan will be rewritten if you keep working with me on the social stimulus plan. That's what he's indicating, right? I just want to be clear, because it's not completely clear what we're trading here. And again, this like, well, raising taxes on the wealthy would solve everything is a nice talking point, but it's not actually true. And it's not really what his tax proposal is trying to do. There's a lot of loopholes and tax cuts for big business. His tax plan is really raising taxes on the middle more than anybody else. So it sounds nice. There's like, I think wealthy people should pay more taxes in order to pay for this stuff. She doesn't think that. Well, it's not as simple as that.
Right. Another big question was about the, this really struck me last night. One of the audience members asked the question about, why don't you just use your power of the presidency to do what Republicans have done for years, which is ram through legislation without Democrats? Like, where have you been on this? I thought it was a really good moment. Like, and the audience applauded, because they're like, why are you trying to negotiate with moderates in your party? Why are you trying to negotiate with Republicans? Why don't you do what Republicans have done, which is ram through this legislation come hell or high water, like the Trump tax cuts?
Yeah,
they didn't use Democrats on that. They did it themselves through the reconciliation process. Why are you trying to dawdle with these?
What did he say?
He said this. Let me see if I have it queued properly.
For about the filibuster. Watch this and watch his body language. Who asks why he doesn't do what Republicans do and just push his agenda through.
President Biden, I had so much faith in your election win, but based on history, the bipartisan efforts of the Democratic Party are held hostage by rogue moderates and Republicans. Why not do like the Republicans and usher through the Democratic agenda?
Well,
good question.
Yes, fair enough.
If you notice, the Republicans haven't passed a single solitary thing. Zero. So ushering through their agenda. Their agenda right now is just stop Biden.
What does that even mean? He's not, like, that's not what he meant. The Republicans can't pass anything because they're not in power. I mean, what are they going to pass, right? So they're not passing anything. So the question was, though, we don't care about their agenda. We elected you, Mr. President. He's saying I had a lot of faith in you, Mr.
Yes.
President, right?
Is there more to this?
Yes, there's more to it.
Yes, you're right. It didn't answer the question. So be quiet and see if he gets there.
All right.
Oh, I shouldn't make it so personal. Stop my administration. That's what the agenda is. It's much easier to stop something than to start something. We're down to four or five issues, which I'm not going to negotiate on national television, as you might guess.
We'd be interested in hearing them if you want.
No, I know. But all kidding aside, I think we can get there.
So interesting. Can you imagine?
He wants to do it the nice way.
Yeah.
Right? We can do this the nice way, or we can do this the hard way. I mean, I guess his thinking
is... Why are you being so nice about this?
We could do it the nice way, or
why
we could do it the nice way.
Why are you being like Biden on
me?
This?
Me? Why am I being?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for why he doesn't ram through his agenda. Why do you think he doesn't ram through his agenda?
Well, because I think he's a corporate politician, and he said to us when he was running for president, nothing would fundamentally change.
You
when
think
you
he doesn't
me.
Want his own agenda?
I think he pays lip service to these things. And at the end of the day, he puts forward this idea of $3.5 trillion, and then we're not going to actually tax these businesses. He told Wall Street nothing would fundamentally change. We're not going to raise taxes. We're not going to raise corporate taxes. Don't worry about it. So he puts forth this $3.5 trillion. We're going to raise corporate taxes. And in the end, I think he knows about it.
Yes.
I think he knows that that's the case. Don't you?
Yes. And big, but he doesn't seem to be, well, he said he wasn't going to run again, so he wouldn't need the money to fund another campaign. Now it seems like he is. So otherwise, why would he be so favorable to big business?
I mean, they're all, well, think how much money he's made from big businesses, right, David? I mean,
yeah. Yes. Well, for me, it feels like, it's like all these people have these negotiations behind our back. Like, we have no idea. So Kristen Sinema, they're probably like, hey, if you're the fall person for this agenda, then we'll give you this position, or you'll get this position after, or something like that. It's like, we don't know if there's these back, because it just, you know, it's like, does it make sense that they always have somebody that's saying that they can't get it? It makes Biden look like it's not his fault. It's Sinema's fault. So they've got a scapegoat. And nothing gets passed. I mean, he's talking about passing something that he said himself nothing would fundamentally change. So he doesn't want that to pass anyway.
Yeah. He doesn't. You don't think he really wants this new tax plan? I mean, think he does.
I think there. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say there. I think there's a bunch of things in here that I think he kowtowed to progressives to stick in here. I think there's climate provisions that he's not game on, certainly from a business perspective. I think he probably even more agrees with some of the stuff that Joe Manchin agrees with when it comes to fossil fuel companies. I wouldn't be surprised. They've donated a lot of money to his campaign over the years. Over the past 2 years, Exxon, these other companies have. So, you know, I'm not surprised. You pay lip service to it, and then you make other people look like the bad guy. It's like good cop, bad cop.
Well, yeah. The thing is, they're trying to find, they're talking about finding these ways to give themselves more money while people are still suffering from a pandemic. Like it's like helping the people has gone completely. Like, it's not even an issue anymore. The pandemic's over. People are on their own. They're still focused on how can we get more money to us. By taxing people, or by tax, you know, this $600 thing, tracking, like, how can we get more money? They're not worried about, you know what I mean? Like, if they were actually concerned, they would still be negotiating something for the people.
It's kind of a page out of the Obama administration playbook. And when the Obama administration introduced the Affordable Care Act, their strategy was throw in the kitchen sink and then start taking things back, so at least you have something that is a little bit different than what we had before. And that's kind of, and that is exactly what happened. They wanted a lot of things in the Obamacare bill that they had to take out, right? And what they were left with was something that did in fact insure a lot of people. Still, the insurance industry and the medical care industry is a mess, right? So it's like, it didn't really solve anything that it was meant to. It's not socialized medicine. It's not even like fair priced medicine for all, but more people are eligible to be covered because they were able to at least get the pre-existing condition off the table, out of the law, right? And so maybe it's just like whatever he wants there is a small fraction of what he's putting forth. And he thinks that if he just like continues to whittle, then that's, I mean, this is the way Obama always said he governed, is just continue to negotiate until you get just a small fraction, because not every president can make big changes. That was their thing.
I get it. But he was also president with a split Congress,
yes.
You know? And so you have President Biden who runs the show. He is the president. He is a Democratic president with a Democratic House of Representatives.
And he should, in theory, have nothing to lose if he's not going to run again, right?
Do you remember during the Georgia runoffs where they were like, look, if the Democrats, if you guys vote Democrat, you know, you'll get the $2,000 checks and we will have all the power. We won't need Republicans to pass anything. That was the narrative that they were pushing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we have a mandate. We have a mandate to get this done. So I like that gentleman's question, you know, like, why won't you ram this through? Like, and why are you waiting on this filibuster? That was one of the next questions that came up, was around the filibuster. Mm-hmm. And he said he's open to basically changing it. So I think you're going to see a change to the filibuster, which, hallelujah, get rid of this thing. And I think this is exciting. And, you know, look, it's going to come back to bite Democrats eventually. But hey, this thing should be done with. We don't get anything done. We need to fix the Senate. And that's one way to do it. You know, that's the Senate is where legislation goes to die. Something else happened last night during the town hall. This is kind of, it's been trending today because people are saying, look, here, Biden doesn't know where he is again. He's had one of those senior moments on stage and he sort of stumbled when you've got two ports right now that are causing this huge bottlenecks for the supply chain issues,
yes.
Right? You've got the Los Angeles port and you've got the Long Beach port. Those are the two that's where, if you're president of the United States, you don't forget those. Well, he had a little problem here last night with this. Watch.
Products coming into the United States of America on the West Coast go through Los Angeles and what am I doing here?
Is it Long Beach?
Long Beach, thank you.
about that, with just in terms of inflation, because
people are like, what is he doing with his hands, Ricky Bobby?
What?
He's just like, I don't know.
That's not even, that's nothing.
I know. But anyway, so what am I doing here? What am I doing here? But he, you know, that's his way of saying, like, I go easy on him on this. He's like, what am I doing here? What exactly? Like,
you
what
wouldn't
do I
have
mean?
To look very hard in like our own show to find us saying the same thing, looking for a word, forgetting something on the tip of our tongue.
That's what I'm saying. I'm defending him.
Yeah.
And I think of my father, who would often say something like that when he couldn't free. He's like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? You know,
yeah.
So, but people are jumping all over this to say that, you know, that's a senior moment. Okay.
We are absolutely not getting on that bandwagon. That is a normal thing to do. Young people do it. I do it.
I think mental decline in your president is fair game to talk about. And if there are members of his administration, that's absolutely fair game to have a discussion about.
Okay. I mean,
the same thing that it was under President Trump.
Yes. Okay, totally fine. Totally fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Trump spoke in circles all the time, never really could figure out where he was going towards the end of a sentence. But he had like a general idea of what he wanted to say. He knew his hits, right?
Yeah.
These are well-rehearsed lines from the president, but he's also in front of a large audience that's televised. I don't think that this is a sign of cognitive decline. Maybe there are others, but this is not.
There are some that are, oops.
What's that?
Turn off your echo for David.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
There are some that are like, if you heard, you'd be like, okay, this is worrisome. Because he's like, he's like spaghetti sentence, like from the front of the end to the end, it makes zero sense. Kind of like where he didn't even answer that guy's question. You know, he kind of like just word saladed his way out of it.
Yes, but that was political speak, I think. And I think he's well rehearsed at that kind of thing, too.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's fair to talk about the president of the United States. And if members of his administration say that there's like cognitive decline, that's a concern to the United States. That's a concern to
surely.
It, right?
Well, and the thing is, like, when you have not only the United States, but the world listening, you can't be having things like, yeah, you can have moments where you flub up or whatever, but they can't be this consistent and they can't be this bad. Like some of the things I've seen him say, like it literally makes zero sense. From start to finish. Oops, that
yeah.
one.
Oh, sorry. He talks in a lot of sentence fragments as well. You know, right. he starts a sentence and then goes off in a different direction. But you don't have to scrub the tape very far back to realize he did this during the Obama years, too.
Well, at least on this show, we never make any mistakes. And we are very erudite.
Yes.
Ooh, nice
I have
word.
A great lexicon.
Right. We never make mistakes. We never, ever screw things up. Right. That's the thing.
All right. Next up on the show, we're going to talk about a pharmaceutical company that has been able to wiggle its way out of 38,000 lawsuits. Any guesses what this pharmaceutical company might be? Here's a hint. They have a COVID vaccine. Interesting. Johnson & Johnson is using a loophole in Texas that allows it to spin off a part of its company. And interestingly enough, it spun off a part of the company that is being sued. It is currently being sued on accusations that it had a talc in baby powder that had asbestos. Now, this caused over 38,000 lawsuits. And Johnson & Johnson put all of the assets that are responsible for these decisions into one LLC. I'm sorry, I don't know for sure if it's an LLC, but it's a different entity. And that entity, surprise, is filing for bankruptcy. What happens when they file for bankruptcy is that anyone who is trying to sue them can get way the heck in the back of the line and will never, in fact, get paid out. This is concerning because Johnson & Johnson, some internal memos had shown that there were people within the company who knew this and expressed concern on the lasting effect of, say, arsenic on babies' reproductive parts and did nothing about it. And I don't know, now we have a generation of people with the highest percentage of infertility. Could these kind of decisions possibly be related? Who knows, right? But the thing is now, these people will not be able to be made right by suing Johnson & Johnson. And why does that matter? Well, because litigation can be obviously a stain on our judicial system, but it also is how we enforce our values. And with groups of people come up and say, I sue you, I don't stand for this, and I want there to be a precedent so that other companies cannot do this to people. And now the precedent is, well, I spin this off into a place you can't get to this money. Now, Johnson & Johnson is making profit hand over foot, largely due to the COVID vaccine. But I think it's worth all of us knowing that these are the kind of things that this company is doing while it's off saving the world from COVID.
Well, I'm just curious, like, how in the world can they do this? Like, how can they just... Like, there's been a lawsuit. There's been a set of lawsuits.
Yes.
Against 38,000 of them, against the company. And then they just...
Break off that piece of the company,
like an arm, like a Lego piece, and then they form a new company, and then in that new company, they just declare bankruptcy. Like,
right.
How is that possible?
And aren't you then the plaintiff saying, I'm not suing new company, I'm suing
the old
company. And so how is that possible? It's like... Like putting your doppelganger up and being like, no, you're mad at fake Natalie. Here you go.
Right.
How does that work? Apparently, there's a loophole in Texas law that allows you to do that. And, you know, now the bankruptcy. I mean, there is a chance that the bankruptcy court does not go for it. Right. You can't just file a bankruptcy by clapping your hands. You have to go in front of a bankruptcy judge. And the judge could say, no, I see through this. You are, in fact, going to pay these lawsuits. It's not very likely because of the way bankruptcy works. And so it's very sad that either parents that used this on their babies or people who had it used on them when they were babies now have these lasting effects of arsenic.
Yeah, I mean, it's astonishing in how you can just decide to break off a piece of a company and then have, some state say, yeah, that's okay. And again, I come back to the court. We've talked about this on the show over the past year, these Supreme Court, these high courts, you know, very often when you're running for office or during election season, a lot of these politicians will run on cultural issues, right?
Yeah.
They'll run on talk about abortion or guns or whatever. But then, like, no politician is getting rid of guns. They're just, it's not, you know, that's just something cultural they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But really what happens behind the scenes is at these court levels, it all ends up becoming business litigation.
Yes.
Almost none of these issues ever make it to these big courts. And it ends up being businesses versus people. Those are the, I think it's 85% of all cases that come before state Supreme
yeah.
courts and the Supreme Court are exactly like this.
Yes.
It's a big business that screwed over the little guy and they get off. This is why this is such an important thing when we talk about judges and why Mitch McConnell was
right.
fighting to make sure that these conservative judges get on the bench because of this. It's not about necessarily abortion, although that's a piece of it. It's about this. It's about big businesses making sure that they can keep their profits and walk all over the little guy.
Yes.
And this is a perfect example. In Texas, do this.
Right. Go ahead, David.
Sorry. I was going to say, and then people wonder why people are skeptical about the V.
Yeah.
Right.
Cher Marie in the chat points out that I may have said arsenic. I meant asbestos.
Asbestos.
A different A, bad chemical that starts with an A.
Yeah, I mean, here's the NPR.
I wouldn't want either of them in my baby products. And I will say that baby powder is something that solves, right, the solution to disposable diapers, which in and of themselves have a lot of chemicals. It's like this sort of it's a virtual circle, right, of products that have chemicals on them that you need them because you're using the first toxic thing, right?
So explain this. So, okay.
Okay, so disposable diapers, which we called in our house Sposies. That's what the cloth diapering community calls them. Sposies.
And they're awful because they're filled with toxins.
Filled with toxins. In fact, the chemical that is no longer allowed in tampons that causes toxic shock syndrome is still actively in use in baby diapers. So we decided when our son was 3 months old never to use disposables, and we used cloth diapers. And so because we used cloth diapers, we did not need baby powder. Baby powder is necessary if you're using disposable diapers, which also Johnson & Johnson makes, right? So they make the diaper, and because Sposies cause diaper rash, they also make the powder, which helped to mitigate that a little bit.
So wait a minute, they're creating the problem.
And then fixing the problem.
And then fixing the problem with another chemical
like
you have to buy.
Like, yeah, it solves the problem.
All right,
that
so
shampoo.
I'm creating a toxic problem with these disposable diapers.
Right.
And then I'm going to sell you the product that will then try to fix the problem.
Yes, exactly right. So I'm not saying this to say that everyone should cloth diaper. I think they should. I'm saying this because anytime you wean yourself off of a mass produced product that is personal care, you are probably doing yourself a favor, right? I feel the exact same way about deodorant. I feel the same way about conditioner. Conditioner solves the problem that shampoo creates, right? baby powder solves the problem that disposable diapers create. We cloth diapered all three of our babies and never had a diaper rash. Never. Because cloth diapers don't do that.
And there was one or two times where we were flying and we had to go to the airport and we couldn't bring the cloth diapers for whatever reason. So we ended up using a disposable and he got a baby rash. He got a rash.
Yes. Yeah. And blowouts. Always yeah. Blowouts. I hate sposies. But I don't want to launch into a like natural living. Yes, I do actually into a natural living diatribe. Yes. But I
this segment
do.
Brought to you by Goop.
Right. No,
not Johnson not and Johnson. No,
I know. I was just kidding. what's the other girl? Jessica.
Honest. Alba. Honest Company.
Yeah. Yes.
Honest. Right. Yeah. No, even their diapers have no. They make disposable diapers too. It's only slightly less bad. Okay. But, you know, Frederick Lasort in the chat points out that, you know, these pharmaceutical companies don't just put this stuff on babies. Like, there are poisons in all ages of things that they are, you know, all products for all ages is what I'm pointing out. And I think that, one, we should hold them accountable. This should not be okay. Two, I think you should look at everything in your house and say, what can I not buy here? What can I wean myself off of? In fact, we watched that show Alone, where they like drop people in the wilderness. And the one guy who won the first season, his big lesson was, we use too many cosmetic products. I can bathe here in the river and brush myself off with sand and then I'm all right.
Yeah, you know? I interviewed the guy, the first season of the show Alone on History Channel. I interviewed the winner of that show and he was just like, you just realize. And he was from like North Carolina or South Carolina or Georgia or something. Maybe it was Georgia. And did you guys ever watch the show Alone?
It's so good.
You ever watched that? It's such a good show.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was the first season and he won. And he, you know, he won by a long shot too.
Like several days out in the Yukon.
Yeah,
or something
it was
like
in
that.
The you know, Pacific Northwest. But anyway, but yeah, he was just like, wow, you realize like all of the garbage that we're using back home. Like, it's just ridiculous what you don't need to survive. And, you know, you can actually live a better, cleaner life when you get rid of all of this stuff.
So if you make these small choices about the products in your life, then these stories won't hurt you so much.
Yeah. So I just want to be clear. The name. So Johnson & Johnson, they were facing 38,000 lawsuits. And then they changed, they spun off a new company called LTL, whatever that is, right? Then they dumped all the asbestos-related liabilities, including the avalanche of lawsuits, into this new firm, LTL. And then they filed for bankruptcy in wow. North Carolina. And now they say Johnson & Johnson doesn't have this liability anymore. They pushed it off into the company they created to file for bankruptcy.
Could you imagine if we did that?
Oh my God.
No, it's like Desperately Seeking Susan.
What's that?
Like
the movie.
The Madonna movie.
What is that?
Where it's like she uses the doppelganger, like, go after her. You're not after me, you're after her. Sorry.
You know, I think everybody should do what I do. I just train my kids to go out in the yard.
Right. To go to potty train?
Well, you ever see that movie Babies? Like Babies, it just shows like all of these different babies like being raised, like San Francisco, you know, and in Africa, and they just show the kids as like going out in the sand and going to the potty, you know, and it's like you realize, wow, all the stuff that we have in San Francisco, they have in San Francisco, it's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so that's the Johnson & Johnson story. So there you go. And while they're busy making money hand over fist from their vaccines and everything else, now they can just set this stuff up. And I'm sure Wall Street's happy about it. They're like, oh, phew. Okay, they spun this off into another company. No problem. Nothing to see here. Nothing to worry about.
Their profits can continue to be high. We can continue to have confidence that they're solving the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So we skipped over...
I'm sorry. I got crazy.
I was super excited about it.
I'm chomping at the bit. Anytime you let me talk about sposies, you know...
All right, so let's go back then. So let's go back because we wanted to talk about this these jobs numbers, and we got some. You know, we were talking about some of the bad jobs numbers, right? We, if you've been watching our show over the past few days, you know that we had 3 million people had left the labor force in August. Really, really bad news. And then we had the jobs numbers yesterday that came out, which showed that jobless numbers went down, people filing for unemployment went down. To which you might be saying, hey, that sounds like great news. Fewer people filing for unemployment. No, what it doesn't take into account is all of the people that have just left the labor force altogether.
Yes, but now there are reports that a record 1.4 million more applications for new businesses were filed in this year alone. So experts are saying we may have up to 4 million applications for new entities, which could be great news because it is indicative that people are betting on themselves instead of trying to get a job for somebody else. They're building their own business. And early numbers show that a lot of these new business applications are for manufacturing and retail type jobs, which create jobs for other people. So it's not like everyone decided to be a freelance programmer or a freelance writer and then they don't employ anybody and they're just in their homes doing their own jobs. People are actually getting out there and building new companies that will then serve their communities and hire other people. So it doesn't have to be all that bad. Now, meanwhile, 3% of workers handed in their resignation in August, which is a record high. But 4 million applications for new business in a single year would also be a record. During normal times of down economies, those numbers could be as low as 2 million a year, right?
Right.
And of course, all new businesses have a high fail rate, right? But hopefully these people are really like using the pandemic as a launch board. And a lot of times things that are started under fire are stronger than things that are started under easy times.
Well, we've had a lot of people in our chat who have said that they started a business during the pandemic. They used some of the additional unemployment benefits that they were able to get in that time. They were able to use some of their the stimulus money to start a business. How many people watching right now were able to start a business or just took that plunge and, you know, applied for that LLC and got that EIN number and started to come up with a plan? I think it's exciting. I think it's great that people have taken that plunge and have started to create new businesses.
Sure ticked off Congress, though.
Did it? Well, it's certainly
because they're like
because the
they use
part.
It as an excuse to try to they're like, okay, so like, some of you started businesses, some of you put some in savings, you're not getting any more.
Yeah, Americans are saving more than ever was the thing, and Congress was like, look. We can't just be lining people's savings accounts right now.
Right. We got to be lining our own.
God forbid that people should have $500 that can't protect themselves. You know, that like most Americans cannot handle an emergency.
Look at this. Grimskull in the chat. Derek Morris in the chat. Noel Whittle in the chat. Wow. Rose Q in the chat. All started businesses.
Way
sorry,
to go.
Not you, Noel, but.
Way to go.
Yeah. Awesome.
Way to go.
We are in your camp. We're your cheerleaders.
James Figueroa says, my wife's small business had no help. Yeah.
Mitch McConnell's did. So.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell, you know, Elaine Chao, of course, his wife, they managed to get hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Kristen Swenson says, I got a PPP loan and applied it back into the economy as it was meant to be. And that's the thing, right, that Kristen brings up is these loans, if they're utilized properly and the money going into people's pockets, it's going back into the communities where they're buying groceries, they're shopping,
yes.
they're going to the local store. And so this money is coming back into these communities.
Yeah.
It's lifting up all these businesses.
Think about Dan Price and where his company is located and probably how that shifted that whole area as far as people spending power. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like he put money in their pockets, which ultimately went right back into the economy.
Right.
What happens is these big people, the billionaires, they don't put any money back into the economy. They hoard it.
Right. With Dan Price, for those of you that don't know, we featured him here on the show. He's one of our favorites, right? 6 years ago, he went into a conference room at his company and he announced that he was raising the company's minimum wage to $70,000. And Fox News called him a socialist and that his company was going to collapse and that there was going to all of his employees were going to go to breadlines and so forth. And since then, revenue tripled. They have a Harvard Business School case study. Employees had a 10x boom in homes bought. always invest in people, he says. And that's been his, you know, that's what he did. And all these people, they had children,
yes,
they bought homes, the people that worked for him. But all of these people on television were like, this is a socialist boondoggle. It's going to collapse.
Yes.
Well, and you were just talking at the beginning of the show about stress levels and everything. Like, just imagine the stress levels of somebody that's going and working a job for $15 an hour that can barely afford their rent. Two people are having to work in a household. They're not able to be around their kids, you know, and then this guy steps up and does this, and the establishment tries to call him a tree hugger and a socialist. But these people's stress levels just went to basically zero in probably most cases, and they're living a better, healthier life. Because when you're not stressed, you're healthier, you're eating better, you're not worried about, you know, where the money is going to come from, or how you're going to pay your rent, or how you're going to have a car to even get to your job.
Yeah.
We recently did a study with an economic survey that showed that the upper class was the demographic of people that owned entities, businesses, and stocks, right? Performing assets. But these numbers show that the middle class and the underclass could absolutely shift those numbers if they did, in fact, start their own businesses and bet on themselves. And then they own the performing asset, right? That's something that we try and teach people all the time. We have a Financial Freedom Academy that's built around that very notion, to own the asset yourself. Instead of go to work for somebody and get a paycheck, you buy things that continue to perform,
right?
And so, I don't know, maybe they all took our Financial Freedom Academy and went and bought their own performing asset. That would be awesome. But this is the thing that we always try and teach people, is like, you cannot, at the end of your life, not own the goose, right?
Yeah, instead
that
of the
lays
eggs.
If you work your whole life for eggs and you own no geese that then perform for you, you cannot retire. You're not set up, right? 1.4 million more people than normal understood that. They realized, huh, I don't have any geese. I'm going to go get me some.
Right.
And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, the increase. Well, and
you're kind of doing that with your servers.
Me? Oh, with our Bitcoin servers?
With your crypto servers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recently started investing in crypto and, I recently started crypto mining. So, you know, whether it's real estate investing, whether it's mining crypto, whether it's investing in crypto or performing assets.
Owning a business, right?
You know?
Yeah.
I would encourage every one of you, if you haven't had a chance to read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Michael Gerber. It's now like, I don't know, 15 years old. It's the classic business book. But if you're thinking about starting a business, or you've already started a business, it's so important to read this book, because it teaches you how to make sure that you don't become a cog in the wheel of your business. You know, it really teaches you how to take things to the next level and separate yourself from the process, so you're not there for 20 hours a day. And, you know, then that's just like getting another paycheck. Great book. Speaking about investing in crypto, we should talk about our show sponsor and our friends over at Alto IRA, because I have to tell you, I recently set up my Alto IRA account. And if you want to invest in crypto or real estate or anything, you can do it inside of your IRA. We are big, big fans of using your self-directed IRA. Now, the reason a self-directed IRA is totally different than a traditional IRA is that you can use your IRA however you want, not the bank, right? Would you give an example? Like, for instance, like, we love our self-directed IRA,
yes,
because we own real estate with it, but we also we're using the Alto IRA account now to invest in crypto.
Because under other self-directed IRAs, if you want to invest in crypto, you have to start an LLC, because an IRA is meant for you to invest in things that are at an arm's length. So you can't invest in something that you would benefit from right now as someone who's not retired. So for instance, I could not buy my own home that I live in with an IRA, or I could not lend Clayton money to start a bakery with my own IRA, because it's not arm's length. So with this type of IRA, you can invest in crypto, and it's a new way of thinking about it, whereas in the past, it's been a bit more complicated.
And there's a lot of tax headaches related to crypto trading. And that's where Alto IRA comes in, because why not trade crypto inside of your retirement account so you don't have to deal with the taxes? It's tax free and you can watch that asset grow. In fact, when we did our first ad with them a few weeks ago, a number of you wrote to me or sent me emails and said, I just signed up with Alto. This company is amazing. So I'm glad to hear that customer feedback. So thank you for sharing that with me. But a majority of people are investing in cryptocurrency through a taxable account. So every time you buy and sell crypto, that is a taxable event, and the IRS is going to want their cut of it, right? So when you could be using an IRA, a self-directed IRA, that it, all those transactions happen inside that account. And then guess what? That's not taxable. You're not creating a taxable event. That's pretty darn awesome. So that's where Alto IRA comes in. They can help you invest in crypto, trade it without tax headaches, no aspirin, no ibuprofen, no acetaminophen required. It's easy to put crypto into an IRA. It's a game changer. Invest with as little as $10. There are no setup charges. They have secure trading 24/7 through Alto's integration with Coinbase. So right inside of Coinbase, inside of the app, you can do trading, crypto trading right there. So open an Alto crypto IRA account with as little as $10. Just go to altoira.com/morning. It's right there on your screen. You have to use that URL. That's altoira.com/morning. Start investing in cryptocurrency today. Go to altoira.com/morning. Grover loves Alto IRA. He loves Alto IRA. He's up and excited now because he's very, very excited about Alto IRA, as we all are.
Is there time for you to go? Can you go back to that page?
What page?
Is there time for you really, really, really quickly to talk about the difference between a Roth, an SEP, or a traditional?
Sure. I mean, look, with these different accounts, you know, if you want to truly sort of diversify your portfolio, I suggest having an account where the taxes are already paid for. Like, a lot of people set up different accounts where you want to defer the taxes till later, right? So people will defer their taxes. You know, this is the thing, my biggest frustration with a 401k account, right? The reason if you pay attention to me at all, you realize that a 401k I think is awful, okay? Number one, a 401k is set up and designed to work in tandem with a pension plan. Pensions are gone, right? Pensions are gone. So a 401k plan was set up in the late 70s, early 80s to work in tandem with pension plans. They've now gone. It's also premised on this idea that we're going to defer taxes, right? So people be like, yeah, 401k, you know, this is great because I can defer my taxes and I can pay them when I retire. I don't know about you, but I want to retire in a higher tax bracket. I want to retire wealthier, right? So then that means you're going to pay taxes at some point. So why not pay them now instead of later, when you're now you're in a higher tax bracket and have to pay higher taxes? So when you set up a self-directed IRA and you're actually, you know, you're not doing the tax deferred thing, you've already paid your taxes. This is post-tax dollars that maybe you've gotten from a paycheck or other investments, and you're putting it into this account, then it can grow tax-free. So imagine if I put in, what is the contribution? Natalie knows this off the top of her head. This year, I think the contribution limit for someone to set up a self-directed, it's at 7,000 this year. I know under COVID they switched it. I don't know if anyone wants to look that up. Let's see, IRA contribution limit, 2020 deadline. I don't want that. Contribution limit for 2021, contribution amount for 2021 is 6,000. So $6,000 limit. So you can put $6,000 into this account after taxes, right? So you've already paid the taxes on it. Now it's in this account. Imagine you buy $6,000 worth of Bitcoin and it doubles. Guess what? You don't pay any taxes on that in a self-directed IRA. That's the beauty of putting whether you're using a traditional IRA or if you're using a Roth IRA, you know, you want to convert it. My opinion, I like to pay the taxes now, because I want to retire wealthier later. I don't want to pay taxes later. I want to do it now. So when you're setting up these differences, you want to make sure that you're picking the right account that's right for you. Again, I'm not a financial advisor. This is just what I believe in on that front. Okay. So does anybody have any questions about that? I'm just curious.
No, I didn't see any questions come in, though.
Okay.
People are commenting about it, but no.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's definitely something that people should look at, making sure that you're making these contributions per year. And also you can have your children too. If you've got children, you can set them up with a self-directed IRA, and that lowers your taxable income as well for the year. So
all Stephen, I can't remember his name, Stephen something, Stephen Hall seems to believe that you get a percentage of every investment somebody makes on the thing you're promoting in this affiliate thing, in this advertisement.
No.
It's a sponsor. It doesn't work that way.
with an IRA, you just go there and, hey, good luck.
They're just a show sponsor. How a show sponsor works is they pay for a sponsorship spot, and then we just promote it. And that's how we fund this channel. Clayton doesn't push things that he's making a percentage of everything you guys do. So that's not true, Stephen.
Exactly. So if you've got, I should clarify for these limits. If you're 60, if you're under 50, you can do 6,000. That's your limit. If you're 7,000, if you're 50 and older. So you get 7,000 you're able to put into those accounts if you're over 50 years old. Okay. So Natalie had to run for a second. She'll be back in a second because we had a... By the way, the sign is being delivered. That's what this is all about. So,
the sign we've been waiting for for 3 months?
Yeah. So they came during the show yesterday, and it's a whole like customs clearance issue and all of this. So... we had to fill out a form, and so she had to go running downstairs and deal with this right now. And
I can't wait to see it.
I know. We should maybe do an unboxing at the end of the show if we can. I don't know how heavy it is, so we'll see. So we'll get to that. Maybe we could do some pet photos while we wait for. No, let's just wait on that. Because these next two stories, Natalie's gonna be driving the train on these, so we're gonna talk about this big story that she wanted to do, so I want to leave that up to her. Plus she's got our trending stories here, so you guys can turn off the members only chat, and I'd love to see who's all new here on this
Friday. Turn that off.
Do you have an IRA?
I do not have an IRA. I did look at starting one with them, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Roth. You know, I made the mistake when I first started out investing. I had a traditional 401k. And with that, then, of course, I had a traditional IRA. And so then that's, of course, pre-tax. So then I've got to pay taxes on this eventually. And that's, in my opinion, a huge mistake, because then you want to retire wealthier, right? So you're going to end up paying taxes later on. In my opinion, a Roth, you know, you contribute after tax dollars. So these are dollars you get from your paycheck. These are other dollars you get from an investment, et cetera, whatever it is. These are after tax dollars that you've already paid taxes on. You put them into this self-directed account and just watch this thing take off. That's the beauty, whether it's investing in real estate. That's something we do, by the way, at Morris Invest, at our company. We help people set up IRAs in a few minutes, and we help them invest in real estate. So if anyone's interested, I just sidebar for what I do. You know, with our partners, we're building about 600 homes this year. And so we do full service rental real estate. And if anyone's interested in booking a call with our team, you just go to morrisinvest.com. Again, morrisinvest.com. And you can kind of learn like what we do. And if you want to get started with real estate investing or understanding, there's so much free stuff on here. Like even if you don't book a call with us there, you can grab our freedom cheat sheet, learn about how to build financial freedom. You can read our blog, which we have all sorts of great resources here on how to start building wealth through real estate, understanding passive income and performing assets versus liabilities, all of those things, incredibly important. So check them out. Just come over to morrisinvest.com/freedom to grab our freedom cheat sheet. And if you're interested in booking a call with our team to learn how to get started with real estate investing, you can do that as well. So there we go. All right, so we waited on you for this, your next two stories here.
I'm out of breath.
All right.
Okay.
All right, all good?
What did I miss?
We were talking about IRAs, Roth IRAs, traditional. I was telling my story about having a traditional IRA that I had, and we had to convert it.
Yeah.
Because that was a mistake that I had a number of years ago.
Yeah.
So.
That's a fun story.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Give me a second. I got a drink from the Stein.
While you do that, Clayton, we did have somebody ask.
The delivery guy.
Okay, go ahead.
Sherry asked if she has crypto, invested in crypto, but she doesn't know how to access it, can't find it. Do you have any tips on how somebody can find crypto that they've invested in?
You don't know how you bought it? Like, you don't know where you put it? Like, what kind of a wallet? I don't know, Sherry. I mean,
I'm like, if you don't know that. If you don't know your, what is it,
Your wallet address, but I would say go through your email, right? When you signed up for a crypto account, you probably have an email from a company that you signed up for to confirm your whole account. Like if you sign up for a Coinbase account, you've got to send them your firstborn, you know, like you.
Oh, she said it was a tip. Somebody gave her a tip.
A tip in crypto.
Oh, so
you would have had to have some kind of wallet that you would have given them for them to give it to you.
Yeah. Trying to come up here. Or maybe they held it in their wallet until you open your own. Sometimes that happens. So
Grover wants to say hi. He's being needy right now.
All right.
Hi, Grover. You got your breath caught?
I'm ready.
Okay.
We wanted to tell you about this story because it's kind of exciting. It's a cyber war story. The FBI and the CIA worked with other like-minded companies, or countries rather, to hack the hackers. The group Revil, R-E-V-I-L, is a ransomware company that you may remember hacked the Colonial Pipeline, among other businesses. Well, the government has gone after them and hacked into their site. They shut them down for a few hours. It was sort of a shot across the bow type move. So what happened was earlier this summer, the hackers group took down a software company called, I'm sorry, I lost it in my notes here. Oh, Kaseya. And while they were doing that, they exposed themselves of a vulnerability. And the FBI took a hold of that vulnerability and held on to it and then hacked into the group. So what is ransomware? Ransomware is when a sophisticated group of hackers breaks into a computer system of, say, any company or utility or anything really that's digitized, and they hold it ransom until they are paid an exorbitant amount of money. This was kind of just a boss move of the FBI, because the FBI did not ransomware them, right? They just broke into their site and said, hey, we can get in here too. We're made of the same stuff. And so it was basically the cyber warfare part of the government that is flexing its muscles, which I think we're going to see more of in the future. I think that warfare will become more digital and less physical.
And they're going to want more money, right?
Yes.
So they're going to want way more money. They're going to want, you know, okay, well, we can't have our pipelines being shut down. So this is new. This is the future now. Okay, we don't have to worry about Russia. We don't have to worry about China. What we need to worry about is our own electricity and our own oil pipeline. And we cannot have these hackers taking us down. So we need to make sure that our defense budget has another $100 billion for cyber warfare.
For computers and programmers and things like that. Well, I mean, there are reports that Revil is Russia, or is at least backed by the Russian government.
Yeah.
And has ties to Russia. So, you know, the predictions that warfare will become more and more virtual and less something that we can see physically seem to be bearing out. Jean Baudrillard was right. In the seminal book, The Gulf War Did Not Exist. Great read for anyone who wants to understand how war is going to continue to get further from our sights, but will continue to exist in the postmodern world. That seems to be true.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's going to be, and it's always removed. It's in many ways, it's like how we get our, you know, our food supply in the United States, right? It's like we don't really want to see where the chicken comes from.
Mm-hmm.
We're so far removed from the chicken. We just want to get it wrapped in cellophane and in a you know, styrofoam thing at the store. And that's the way our warfare is now. We have to take their word for it, basically.
Yeah.
Don't you think we have to take their word for it? Like the FBI and the CIA, which have been, they're basically a group of liars. That's what they do. They lie to the American people.
Okay, so what are you saying? This didn't happen, or they didn't? Because I did actually ask myself the same thing. Like, okay, they're saying they broke into they broke into the bad guys and just did a shot across the bow, or and then are released they
the
saying press.
The reason you know about it is because they told us.
Well, no, they didn't. They did not actually comment on the story. This was a Reuters story, so.
But so Reuters, what I'm saying is there's a leak somewhere
right.
at the FBI that said that called up one of their contacts
so
at the press.
So you think the government is making it look like they can do what the ransomware company can also do. But we're doesn't not exactly seem, sure.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem funny, too, that like they have this whole story of how they want to get a gas tax for us to pay for the stuff that's coming, right? We can pay for it with a gas tax. People buck against that. Then all of a sudden, the pipeline is hacked. Our gas prices go up. They blame the hack, but yet the gas prices continue to go up after the hack is done. So to me, it's almost like now we're in what, cyber theater and as political theater. I mean, this is like has CIA written all over it, in my opinion. If you just follow the money.
Yeah, I mean, and what do we believe? To David's point, like, okay, so. We're blaming it on Russia. Now we can blame it on China if we want to ramp up. We can say it was China. We need to spend more money. I mean, just look at this. This was in Stars and Stripes, of course, which is a military website. It says NATO military chief urges alliance to boost our cyber warfare capabilities. Like, we need to make sure that we have the cyber warfare capabilities to take on all of these countries that are coming after us.
Yeah, as long as they have a boogeyman. More. As long as they have a boogeyman that we will all get behind that we want to fight, then they can continue to take money to fight that boogeyman. They have to have a boogeyman.
Yeah. Success in the 21st century warfare demands that we evolve to compete in new domains, Walters says. He added that a rise in cyber threats means NATO must find ways to impose costs.
So what are you saying? That it could go as deep as like... We need the Colonial Pipeline to be hacked to show America what could happen when you can't get gas and people have to fill up like garbage bags.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll be honest. That's the that.
And we think maybe the government is showing us. Okay, I'm just think playing it's because, it out. I'm asking.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's because like overseas is falling apart. The narrative of terrorists is falling apart day by day. People are seeing the fact that we're bombing innocent people on a daily basis, and people are starting to know more about what's going on. So they need another boogeyman, and this can be one that's basically virtual.
Right. We can say the Russians, you know, while we're not fighting them with missiles, they're really coming after us with disinformation campaigns, and they're coming after our banks, and they're trying to influence our elections. This is literally
and we got what aliens coming from space now too, Space Force.
And look, all members of NATO believe this. Look, this is a quote directly from that meeting. Polish defense minister, I'm not going to say his name, echoing Walters, said NATO needs new tools to contend with Russian disinformation campaigns, which seek to cause political and social confusion in NATO member countries. He said his country and others on NATO's eastern flank have seen an increase in hybrid attacks coming from the Kremlin.
So you're saying you don't believe it? You don't think happens?
Believe what?
That the ransomware companies are just actual bad guys. You think it's...
I mean, who knows?
It's a boogeyman bad guy.
We have to rely on these people to tell us the truth. And guess what? They lie for a living. This is what they do. They lie for a living.
They are allowed to for right. a reason.
They're like extra... yeah, but they lie for a living. And this is where, I don't know, maybe the Colonial Pipeline legitimately happened from this hacker group that has a website that sets this up and holds things ransom, maybe. But then... Was it Rahm Emanuel that said, never let a good tragedy go to waste politically? You know, then you have these government agencies that see this as an opportunity to flex.
And this spending never gets through any bill. It just happens. It's never voted on. It's never debated. It's just
They can roll it in as part of different, you know, defense.
It'll
budget.
Go into the war budget now.
Yeah, they can roll that in. They did a continuing resolution a few weeks ago that there was no dissenting voices on it. Like literally everyone was like, sure, you need another $40 billion. Okay, no problem.
Right.
But hey, can we take care of schools? Can we take care of healthcare? No, that's
it's
when
kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy to me that they're sitting there like getting mad and saying, you know, Russia is trying to hack our election, running Facebook ads. That's not how you overthrow democracy. You got to bomb them. You got to take out the dictator and replace him with, you know what I mean? Like it's like we do the same thing, only we do it violently. Let's say they did try to hack our election with Facebook ads. Big deal.
I think that's a big deal. I mean,
yeah, I don't think that's a big, because nobody's dying. You know, we legit go in and murder people.
Like, this is interesting. The Fresno Bee, someone in the chat says, you know, our local station, Penny West, has got hacked this week. Yeah, Fresno Fox affiliate and all these Sinclair groups were attacked by hackers. And, you know, who knows what that's about. But, yeah, look, this, there's certainly hacker groups that are making all kinds of money with ransomware. Like, send us crypto money, make all kinds of money. Absolutely. I'm just saying I'm cynical. I'm highly cynical when it comes to how did we learn about this story?
Yeah.
Like, how did we learn that the FBI did this? Well, they were not commenting on this Reuters story. A source at the FBI leaked it, like sent this literally to a Reuters reporter.
Okay. Right. Okay. It's a healthy dose of skepticism that you've got there. But mm-hmm. I don't think either of us knows for sure. We just know enough to ask the questions and say, that sounds kind of awesome if that's true.
Yeah.
Who are these participating countries? Like, we worked with like-minded countries. Oh, like who? Right? Oh, we're not going to say. But we can get into them if they can get into us, just so you know, we're powerful too. Either it impresses someone or it makes you think, okay, I can see both sides of what that could be.
What you're saying is, though, is this, like, I think you're implying that this could be looked upon as a deterrent. Like, wow, oh, so the FBI is serious. They're playing with the same set of skills that we are.
I mean, it's not really going to work that way, but maybe, you know, like... They have an Edward Snowden on their hand who can crack the code and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're saying we don't know. We're saying that's the story. We're saying we don't know. Right. Clayton knows what he thinks, what he surmises.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, how are we left to, you know what I mean? Like, these people lie to us all the time. So it's like everything that comes from them, we have to be skeptical of, because we've been burned over and over again. And history shows us that, you know, I mean, look at like Vietnam, how Vietnam was started, the Gulf of Tonkin. And then McNamara comes out and says, yeah, that was all based on a lie. 100% a lie. We were never fired upon. So a war was started on a lie where hundreds of thousands of people died. And, you know, we're supposed to believe these people. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I just got finished reading Chaos, this amazing book about the 60s and counterculture and what the CIA did. In these, like, literally infiltrating teenagers and, like, making them take drugs. So, I mean, like, this is, and they would lie about it, lie to the Congress, and Congress found out about it. They're like, what? I mean, this is literally happening. This happened, and it continues to happen in the United States. Yeah. So don't be shocked at all about it. Don't fall for the story that, hey, these intelligence agencies, they've got your back. They've got your best interests at heart. Helen is new. Helen just said, hey, I'm new here. Hey, Helen Gerchak, welcome. All right, tell us about ShipStation for the holidays.
I want to tell you about our show sponsor, ShipStation, because it is a pain in the butt to ship things. And we already know that the supply chain is backed up for everything. So when people are ordering things, your packages are going to get to the back of the line. So instead, visit our show sponsor, ShipStation. Maybe you're growing a business where you ship items. Maybe you're selling things online so that you can use that money to buy Christmas presents. Maybe you just want to send your mom a fruitcake. Head on over to ShipStation and find out about the best way to ship things, because sometimes shipping can be so frustrating, so confusing. It's easy to import orders from any sales channel. So if you're selling things online, it can automate just about any shipping task. There are over 100,000 sellers currently using ShipStation in their business. It's just better to automate this with a company that knows how to do it through all supply channels rather than doing it yourself, which is a nightmare. You don't want to be there shipping one product at a time and then bringing this stuff to the post office. It's just never too early to start prepping for the holiday rush. So get a head start with ShipStation. Our listeners can use our offer code INVEST to get a 60-day free trial just in time for the holidays. That's 2 months of stress-free shipping. In 2 months, the holidays were basically going to be over. So you'll get through this with a free membership, basically, to ShipStation, and then you won't want to leave. Head on over to ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone at the top and enter INVEST to get your offer of 2 months for free. ShipStation is where ship happens.
Yeah, make ship happen.
Make ship happen.
ShipStation.com. Make sure you click on that microphone at the top and enter that code INVEST. Our thanks to them. Thank you so much for supporting the show.
Okay. We're going to move on to what's trending, and then we're going to go to your pet photos, because there are some fun things trending online today that I am so interested in your feedback here in the chat. I search through trending topics on Twitter and Google and all the other social networks so that you don't have to. And if you would like to get involved in the conversation, you can. First up, trending, Ohio vehicle registration plate is trending because the state of Ohio unveiled a new design for license plates and there's something wrong with it. Can you see it, Clayton? What's wrong with this? Let's see if the chat room gets it too.
Okay, birthplace of aviation.
The plane is flying backwards.
You got it, David. Yes. Backwards. The plane is pushing the banner instead of pulling it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
See how the banner is flying through the state shape, but like the plane is, that's not how physics works.
Grim, did you make that?
So, the state of Ohio did, in fact, acknowledge that this is an error. And in response, the state of North Carolina sent out this tweet. Can you put up the tweet from the state of North Carolina? It says, y'all leave Ohio alone. They wouldn't know they weren't there. This is in response to an age-old battle about where exactly is the birthplace of aviation, because the Wright brothers are indeed from Ohio and they had a workstation there and they built a lot of their mechanics there. But the first actual controlled sustained flight of a powered heavier-than-air aircraft happened on December 17th, 1903 in North Carolina. So the battle rages on, and I just love that the state of North Carolina was right there to throw some shade as soon as Ohio made this truly dumb mistake.
That's awesome. By the way,
I saw another error in the image as well, if you can go back to it.
The dog about to be kicked in the face on the swing set.
Exactly. I was going to say that dog's going to get crushed.
Yeah, that dog. See over there on the tree?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, sorry, buddy.
I mean, who signs off on this? And they're like, that looks good. That's fine.
Well, I didn't realize the banner was being pulled by the plane. So I was like, oh, well, it's flying. It doesn't matter which way it's flying.
It matters if you want to say you are an expert in aviation.
Right, right. That's hilarious, though, that North Carolina sent that out. Like, yes. Hey, here at Kitty Hawk, but it is funny because the Wright brothers obviously did all of their testing in Dayton, Ohio, right? And then they took all of the stuff and went down to Kitty Hawk where it was nicer to fly.
This is a age old. These two states are always fighting over this.
By the way, I should mention I've got tonight I'm going to be publishing on my Paranormal Post channel. Mm-hmm. There was all kinds of sightings in the late 1800s of these mysterious airships across the United States.
Hmm.
So it's the great airship mystery from the late 1800s where sightings all over California, specifically in Sacramento and San Francisco, they were seeing these bizarre airships in the late 1800s. There were no cell phones.
Interesting.
It's well before Kitty Hawk, right?
Yeah.
Like 10 years before Kitty Hawk, 20 years before Kitty Hawk. So on my youtube.com/paranormalpost channel, that video is going to be published tonight. You got to be there for the premiere of that. Hmm. I worked very, very hard on that. Anyway.
Speaking of the...
take it away.
The start of aviation. Here's a little fun fact you can share with your friends. Did you know that the jacuzzi was started by an aviation family that was trying to make aircraft? They were sort of in the running with the Wright brothers, and they were an Italian family with like six brothers and sisters, and two of them died in one of their test crafts, and they decided they didn't want to make jet engines anymore. So they took that same engine, submersed it in water, and that was the invention of the jacuzzi.
Wow.
Yeah, I learned that at the Aviation Museum in Northern California.
You're right. They made wood propellers under military contracts.
They did. And then they just were so brokenhearted by the death of their two siblings that they decided not to do it anymore. But the jacuzzi then, you know, became something that gave us all back rubs and underwater.
And hot tub time machine.
Yes. So, okay. Thought you might like that. Share with some friends this weekend. I'm full of useless knowledge like that. Alec Baldwin is trending because he was filming a movie in Mexico and he fired a prop gun that actually killed a person for real. It was not supposed to do that. And also the director was hurt. This image here is from SantaFeNewMexican.com. It appears to show the actor very distraught after doing something that supposedly he did not mean to do.
And so just FYI, I think it happened in New Mexico, not Mexico. Just
In New Mexico, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that I misspoke once
that's
again.
That's Alec Baldwin. Yeah, I guess crying or really upset. So, I mean, this prop gun thing is crazy because, so we were digging into it. Of course, everyone remembers, I know you're going to talk about Brandon Lee in a second, who's also trending, I guess. But the son of Bruce Lee on the famously on the set of The Crow, who gets shot with that prop gun and a little piece dislodges and kills him. These prop guns, I guess they have these slugs in them, and I guess pieces just broke off. In 1984, that also happened on the set of a TV show. Another person got killed. So these prop guns are actually not all that proppy.
It's not all that fun in games. No, it's absolutely terrible story, which is also why Brandon Lee is trending today, because this is the exact same thing that caused his death in 1993. And it's very sad. Now, the actor was taken and questioned and released. It is the general consensus that he did not mean to take a life, and he obviously is very disturbed.
Could you imagine? You're on the set of a movie trying to, like, you know, do this character and just act, and all of a sudden you kill somebody accidentally?
Like, you're shooting, you've got the gun aimed at the cinematographer who's filming you, and you pull the trigger, and it ends up actually killing the camera person.
No.
That's crazy. And the director, who is right behind her, gets hit also with this slug. It's like, what's in this gun? By the way, the person who's responsible for this is the prop master, the armorer. There's actually an armorer on the show. They're responsible to make sure these things are safe. So
we don't know enough about that technology to say, but it's an awful story.
So what did we miss? What were you talking about?
I was just reading all the chats and answering questions and stuff. I was talking about, like, a lot of people are talking about crypto and that they were mining crypto. And Grim was saying he has a cousin or something that's making like $300 a day mining crypto.
That's awesome.
Grim, what are they mining? Are they mining Bitcoin? Because to get to $300 a day, that's pretty much what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yours is doing $300 a day already?
Yeah. Because I got the one machine, I got the Bitmain machine, so that's cranking out about $300 a day.
Now, when you got the machine, was that part of the selling point? Was it said, okay, this is your guaranteed amount to make per day, or?
No, it's just the hash rate, like the speed of the machine, and Bitcoin miners who understand the hash rate and the speed of this particular machine, it was the newest and the best, and it was highest in demand from Bitmain computers, so. Yeah, so that's the one I got. The Bitmain Pro SJ19, I think, is the one I got.
Chris Paulman says one of his sons is making $5,000 a month.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's my goal, is to ramp this up. That is about five. It's like $4,800 a month is basically what I would do with.
It's a performing asset.
Exactly.
You'll hear us talk about that.
So that's what one machine could produce that much, about $5,000 a month?
Yeah, actually, I think I might
but
be
again,
wrong. Actually, I'm sorry. This machine, I'm sorry, is about $40 a day. I'm sorry. I did my math based on getting multiple machines. So I was remembering that. So that's why I'm curious, Grim, like, what coins specifically are they mining? Because if you're mining like Raven Coin, or there's some other ones that are pretty,
And remember, we're using solar energy, so we're
Teresa is asking, oh, come on, man, how much electricity does it take? We use solar, so we have the solar panels driving the show.
For now, our neighbors just put a tree on the fence, and we're like, don't shade our panels. So,
yeah.
Okay, you know what we need? When Clayton worked at Fox and Friends, and they used to go to, like, D.C., remember, to cover the elections or whatever, they would go to the Republican National Convention, and they would send like the weekday crew, and they'd make Clayton sit in the studio in case all of their gear went out and Clayton would have to go live. Remember that? We need someone to sit there for us.
Well, David's
in
doing
case
it now.
This happens. Yeah, thank goodness we got David.
Yeah, they would do, like, when the weekday crew would go down to cover some event, they'd have us sit in the studio, and if for some reason the satellite went down, they'd cut back to us, which never, ever, ever happened.
So he would just sit there for the whole show in full makeup like this. Nothing's happening. So
I would hate that. I would go nuts.
Well, he spent that time with his iPad building his own business.
Yeah, so. That time I sat there was literally doing building business. So, hey, all right, no problem there. Okay, hey, it's pet photo time. You guys ready
for
pet photos?
Wait, I'm not
done. With what?
I didn't finish
right there. Okay.
Okay, let's pretend I never was cut out.
Okay.
And we'll go back. Did you guys get the full Snap stock?
No. When you started talking about Snap stock, that's when it... I tried to carry it on. I tried to keep the story going, but I had no idea where it was.
You tried to keep the light alive.
You started actually snapping. Okay. Yeah. Snap stock was trending because in a week when most companies released awesome earnings, Snap did not. Snap is the owner of Snapchat. The stock fell 22% after disappointing third quarter earnings, and they blame Apple. The CEO said that they knew earnings would drop after Apple changed its privacy policy because now Apple requires users to opt in to tracking, whereas before it was opt out. And shares of Twitter and Facebook were also dragged down on this same news.
By the way, I'm just going to ask our audience here, how many of you guys have iPhones, right? If you have an iPhone and you now have an iOS 15, if you've updated your software in iOS 15, it now tells you like which companies are tracking you,
yes,
right? And when you download an app for the first time or you launch that app for the first time, if it's not an Apple app, you know, if it's a third-party app like Facebook or et cetera, the company will put up like a little thing that's like, this is how we make our money, by tracking you across the web.
That's okay, right?
That's okay, right? So on the next screen, you're going to see something that asks you, do you want us to track you or not? And I think Apple's reported that like upwards of 98% of users are like, don't track me.
No thanks.
And they ask app not to track, and they click ask app not to track. Who clicks yes? I'm curious. Anybody in our chat clicks yes on that?
Very interesting. I click no.
Yeah.
Hans Zimmer is trending. The Dune movie came out today. It is also trending, and so are all the actors in the movie. The movie is based on the 1965 novel of the same name by Frank Herbert, and it will be a two-part adaptation. Early reviews are very good. It has an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you see the image that I gave you there?
It was a... Oh, okay.
Of the movie?
Yeah,
no?
I had to. Okay. Well, I know I have it. I just had to add them all back in because the computer crashed.
That's okay. No problem. So it has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes with audience score. So it's trending high. People seem to like it. Hans Zimmer wrote the score, and people online, he's trending because people say it is one of his best.
Really?
Which is saying something, because Zimmer is famous for all kinds of famous scores, including the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, Gladiator, Dunkirk, Blade Runner, etc. Zimmer said that this is one of his favorite childhood books, and it was his dream to write this score. You'll see him talking about it on this TikTok. We don't have to play it. Do you have sound?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So yeah, he says, oh my gosh, I've always loved this book. I wanted to do this forever. And he's very proud of this.
How come I can't hear it, though?
I can't hear it either. Okay.
I'm still.
He's now on TikTok. You can seek him out and watch it yourself, or you can seek out the score. Our son is obsessed with movie composers. He really loves them, and he obsesses about how people write the music to action. And like, he'll spend his time trying to learn to play the Avengers soundtrack and stuff. So I'm not sure if this movie is appropriate for him, but we'll be seeking out the soundtrack for him.
I really want to read Dune with the kids. I've never read it, and I've obviously heard amazing things about it and know that it's a classic. And I saw parts of the original 1980s version of the movie. I would love to see this one, but I just want to read the book first.
Oh yes.
You know,
That's our family policy. You cannot see the movie first.
I feel like
you're going to get kicked right out of here.
But this one in the theater on like an IMAX screen would be breathtaking. But I feel like there's no way I can read it in this amount of time.
Probably not.
It's a big book.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way,
look at that cast.
Christmas gift, by the way. I would love this.
The book?
I would love
this. The actual book.
And every year, like, I want a few hardback books for Christmas.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. I would love Dune. If you can find a Dune cover that's not like the movie book. I hate.
Oh, I don't like that either.
Hate the movie version covers of books. I don't know why. I just don't want to see, like, if it's a classic book, give me the classic cover. I don't want to see the new dudes on the cover.
No, you know why? Is because that taints your image of the character.
Right.
So then you're reading it and you're like, oh, Hermione Granger must look like Emma Watson,
right?
Instead of what you think that in your own imagination.
Yeah.
I agree.
So yes. Anyway, that's, so I would love to read that book. Okay. What else is trending?
And The Matrix is trending because Warner Brothers said that it will make a fifth movie in the series only if director Lana Wachowski will agree to do it. She has already said that she is interested in doing this, so we may be in store for a fifth Matrix even before the fourth Matrix comes out.
Why this is not working. Boy.
That's okay. You know what the Matrix looks like.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, I was going to bring the Matrix in image.
Okay. Anyway. That's all right. That's what's trending today. So let's move on to pet photos, if you please.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into pet photos if this will work. Hopefully this works. Okay. There we go. This is from Cherie Eicher. You want to play some fun, wacky music for pets?
That looks like a poster. That's someone's real dog. So cute.
It does look like a poster. Sunday Vibes from Cherie. Here is a long dog day of video gameplay from Tina. I love this dog's like not even moving from Tina.
So cute.
Tina, are you watching today? Let me know
Grover
in the chat.
Would never have that.
I want everyone whose dog is here today for someone in the chat to say, hey, that's me. That's mine. All right. I want to see the names here in the chat. I want to make sure you see these. Okay. Bandit and Everest from Brenda in Northeast Wisconsin. Bandit and Everett. Is Bandit or one of them chewing on a chair?
No, the chair's distant.
Okay. That looks like a cozy room.
Yeah, it does.
I could do some good football watching in that
room. Look at that old phone.
Oh, yeah. A rotary phone.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Yesterday I was at the mall and I was looking at something for just stuff for the set and studio, like for like back here, you know, for my decorations,
yes.
You know, things that I love. And I'm actually going through my storage stuff and pulling out my Star Trek books and other things. But I saw a classic looking phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. But I'm like, hey, this is right here on this shot. Your classic rotary phone right there. Chum.
Love it.
Yeah, there it is.
And like six internet boxes.
Yeah, man, that's...
I don't know. Is it rude of us to be looking so close into their living room? Sorry, we're being a bit intrusive.
What movies are over on your...
What's for lunch over there?
What movies are you watching over here? Like, what movie is that over there?
Can we come over?
Yeah. Can you zoom in on that to-do list back there?
No, stop it.
That's cute.
Heart kitties.
Here's Bryn White. Gladbrook, Iowa. Five-month-old brothers, Harley and Milo. Harley and Milo. Those are cuties.
Little kitty hug.
Those are cute. Here's Chaos from Jackie Wolf. Chaos is like, get that camera out of my face. I've got stuff to break. I've got some stuff to get into.
I had a kitty look just like that.
Here's Cooper from David Golden. Cooper getting a treat. Hopefully Cooper's doing better now. Probably looks like he had a shot on his leg or something.
Yeah, poor
baby.
And
had to get stitches or something. Hope Cooper's doing better. No yawning, David. 5-month-old brothers, Harley and Milo. No, that's not Harley and Milo, but that's what this says. This is from Bandit. Bandit.
Maybe it is Bandit.
Oh, maybe this is Bandit.
Yeah, I love it. Love the Halloween black cat.
Oh, there's a bunch of dogs asleep. Frank, the English Bulldog, Agnes, the Golden Retriever, and from Sarah Cross in Iowa, and something and something Bulldog. I can't see the rest of it here. And Oscar. Oscar. I like Oscar. That's a good name for a dog.
Yeah.
Oscar, the English Bulldog. Grover's jealous over there.
Can't even see him.
He's buried in his blanket. Here's Katie and Echo from Tony Breeden. Katie and Echo.
They're cozy buds.
Yeah, thank you, Tony, for sending those in.
I wonder if they're related. They must be.
Cody from Susan Southard. There's Cody from Susan Southard. Cody, that's a pretty dog. What kind of dog is that?
That's
that
David.
Looks like a Papillon.
Papillon?
Papillon with, like, it looks like it's got some Chihuahua in it, too.
Louie doing the salmon. With his mouth open. Louie doing the salmon from Debbie Johnson. There's Magic on the left. Magic, that looks like my... I had a bunny growing up that I named Magic, but it was like the New Mutants Magic from Marvel with a K. Magic. And it looked... had that like... It was like black with that like little brown in there. And then that's Whoopi. Whoopi. From Ash... on the right-hand side. From Laura Marion in Asheville, North Carolina.
How do you spell that?
Asheville, such a beautiful area, by the way. Mellow from Tanya Toya, right? Michael. Mellow. Happy Halloween.
I like the Halloween greeting.
Yeah, I like the Halloween stuff. 1 week away, right? Or
yeah, just about.
Here's Coco from Gene Eisler in Valdosta, Georgia. Coco getting into trouble. Did you put Coco up there? Did Coco just find its way up there?
And Voyage, that's above the fridge where nobody puts anything anyway.
Right, you can't reach it, except me. Whoopi, Voyage Drifter says, Whoopi, I love that name. I do too.
It's like the blanket from...
From Mr. Mom.
From Mr. Mom. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's Pretty. Pretty DeGregory. Sent these two dogs in. I don't know their names, though. Cute.
Cute.
Joyce Lomax sent this one in. I like the Halloween... Is that a Halloween onesie?
No, it looks like a harness.
Oh, David just ordered some of these from MeUndies for himself.
Yeah.
I did. You know what's funny? I ordered those last night after I talked to you, and that I got the shipping notification when I woke up this morning that they already shipped.
Wow.
So fast. Yeah. We must use our show sponsor, ShipStation.
Maybe. Celine is a poodle in a pumpkin dress. No longer with us. Aw. Rest in peace, Celine. Sent in for Natalie for the Halloween outfit.
Thank you. I did say I wanted to see costumes.
Yeah. Here's Stagger Lee. Stagger Lee is a Grateful Dead song. Stagger Lee, if I'm not mistaken, right? Loves a Scratching Box. From
so cute.
Miriam Klopowitz. Am I saying that right? Klopowitz Frank. So Stagger Lee. Someone likes Grateful Dead. Stagger Lee.
Sleepyhead.
This is Gemma and Sandwich. They are
Golden Shepherds.
They are, what is it? Korean rescue dogs from James and Ashley.
They're beautiful.
Korean rescue dogs. Grover, what do you think about them?
That one on the right is gorgeous.
Hey, Grover. Talking to you, man. Grover. Grover.
He's not even giving you an ear turn.
Not even.
He's mad that we left him. This guy, this is awesome. I'm just watching football. Get out of my face. Tito, my grand dog from Anathea Sparrow. Anathea Sparrow. Tito. I love that. Like, I'm just chilling here. Can you get me a beer? Can you get me a beer, please, and a cigar? It's like if Winston Churchill was a dog.
Yeah.
Will Green, Lauren Cherry, bundles of cray from Will. I don't know which. Oh, is there two cats in there?
Can't be.
Will Green.
I thought so at first, but I think it's just one.
One, very puffy dog.
Puffy cat.
Will Green, Lauren, and Cherry. I from Will. I don't know which ones. They're all bunched together as one name. Will Green, Lauren, Cherry from Will. So take your gander as to which one you think this one is. Will, maybe? You think this one's Will? I don't know.
Looks like a Will.
And that's the last one. That's the last pet pick of the day. Grover.
Grover, dog.
Grover.
Hey, you got an ear turn that time.
A little bit.
Grover.
Meow. You are non grata to him.
Yeah.
Because we left him this morning.
Does want to go for a walk not work with him?
Yeah. Hey, Grover, do you want to go for a walk?
Oh, a little bit.
Hey, Grover. You want to go for a walk? What do you think, buddy? Hey. Yeah.
Perhaps.
I think maybe he's a little bummed. He's like, you know, Natalie's doing the show now. I'm not really so much of a co-host anymore.
Well, he's welcome to hop up here any old time.
To be honest with you, he was never really much of a co-host. He was just more of a barking in the background host. But
he tolerates me. It's really, maybe we can give him a Clayton.
Dog story trending topics.
Right. Like, what's trending in the dog world? Squirrel.
Nap.
Squirrel again. Food. All right, everyone. Yeah, I should go down and ring the doorbell, James Figueroa says. That'll make him bark and wake up.
Well, you guys, thank you for sticking with us for the rest of the show and for the rest of the week. This completes 2 weeks for Natalie.
Wow.
2 weeks. A real job.
Hey.
Yeah.
I should mention today I am finally finalizing the edit on a big video that I've been working on. It's been taking me all week to get this together. It's my ultimate watch list stock show. So you can come, if you want to come over to youtube.com/ClaytonMorris. I'm going to be showing you 5 picks, stocks that I'm heavily invested in right now. So if you're interested in learning more about that, learning about investing, and I also am also doing crypto and crypto mining over there. And we'll be talking, and of course I've got my real estate channel as well separately, but this, if you want to come over here to youtube.com/ClaytonMorris, we're almost at 20,000 subscribers. So come on over. Woo-hoo. I'm going to be publishing that video a little bit later today. I've got to finish the edit on it and then it will be published. And I've got 5 big stocks that we deep dive these things. So you understand the data, what's moving them on the charts, why I'm so heavily invested in them, and why these are like 5 of the best picks right now.
Very good.
David, where can people find you?
When you guys went away, that was, I talked about that. So I'm over at Overland Geeks over on YouTube, and I do overlanding and minimalism. So if you guys want to come check that out and hang out and chat, I actually have a live show today at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific. I was going to go Bigfoot hunting with my friend who's here, but my LiveView backpack with my data and everything isn't working yet. So Sasquatching today.
I would love to go squatching.
Yes.
That would be a dream. Well, if you ever come out here to the West Coast, there's plenty of places, because like this has had some of the most sightings here.
Yeah. If you watch that Hulu show, there's a new Hulu show documentary. It's like an 8-part documentary series on Bigfoot. Pretty great. Pretty great stuff. So anyway, anything you want to say?
You want me to tell you what I'm looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
I'm going to finish my course on bees. That's
Are you
I'm
really?
Gonna do. Yeah, I don't have one to offer you. I'm taking one. I really want to get a beehive. And
that would be awesome.
Yes, but I have. So I had 2 of my 3 children tested for allergies, and they are negative. And my 3rd one has her allergy test next week because I don't want to get a beehive and find out that she's allergic. So we go to the allergist, and then maybe I will buy myself some bees. I'm super excited.
So if you see Natalie on the show,
like I've been like, stung by bees.
Like next time when you see her next week, and she's like, "Hi."
Yeah. I actually didn't do the test for myself to know if I should do that.
You probably should.
By the way, I'm not doing any more blood drawing. I've done enough over the past. Like,
you've been stung by a bee, haven't you?
Many times.
Yeah. So you're not allergic.
I'm.
Okay. So yes, this is my new passion because all my babies are out of diapers, so I can't teach you anything else about cloth diapering.
No,
now I
cannot
gotta go
wait.
Get some bees.
I can't wait. Yeah, the one person who's not or who is allergic and
would be me.
Like,
right. Shut up, Clayton.
I want you to make me a promise, though.
Shoot.
What if I come over there and you're doing honey, I want some baklava.
Oh, okay. I don't know how to make that, but I'll buy the phyllo.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Some nice tea. And I mean, I just have this dream that I'll have like beautiful honey as teacher's gifts for my
cool.
kids' teachers. And I want it. I want to learn how to beekeep. So I'm taking an online course. That's what I'm up to.
We call you Natalie Poo.
Okay. It's better than COVID, Natalie.
I'll be your
or Mrs. Tinkles.
I'll be your Tigger.
All right. How'd you do that so fast?
Oh, anyway,
thank you, everybody.
I did that with my actual voice. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.